Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, and a special welcome to those of you joining us from home. We are blessed to be able to be one community together beyond the boundaries of a building. This week, we continue what has been an intermittent series throughout this summer, which is this season of creation. And we will be reflecting on the way God created at the beginning and continues to create and recreate in our lives through the special thematic lens of water. And we'll come back to the season of creation intermittently throughout this summer. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and placed us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you washed us from Jesus' wounded side, and on this day you shower us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, and for all water everywhere. Here, bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy all who thirst, and give us the life only you can give. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand for our opening hymn. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God, whose Spirit moved over the deep, we thank you for the gift of water, the waters on the earth and under the earth, the water above us and within us. Make us mindful of the care of all the planet's water, that it may richly sustain life for us and for those who come after us, through Jesus Christ, the source of living water. Amen. Now I invite all to be seated and prepare your ears to hear the word of God.
Our first reading is from Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, so that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and it is dyed like a garment. Light is withheld from the wicked, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked into the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this, the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And waking up, Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was calm. Then Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As I mentioned at the welcome, this summer we've been having a season of creation with several Sundays dedicated to this theme of creation throughout our time here after Pentecost, which happens to be green Sundays. And this week, we're focusing on a different aspect, that of water. Water is one of those most dynamic symbols, both in the Bible and our lives, as we've all felt the need for it this past week and this heat. And maybe you're feeling like you want some water right now. I asked our Wednesday Bible study group just what associations they made with water, either spiritual or not, just what associations came up. And I received responses as varied as the number of people there. Some talked about the life-giving aspect of water, that it is all around us, and the way it's so vital for all life, including ours. Others talked about the danger of water and how uncontrollable it is, especially some of those who've been in the service talked about being in ships in rough seas. Others talked about floods and needing to flee the waters, as we've all read about this week or seen in Tennessee. Some talked about water management and the stewardship of this precious resource that we have. And then others talked about the spiritual component of water and the waters of baptism. But the one overriding thing that always came up was the feeling of great calm that can come through water in nature. When you're near a waterfall, maybe at the ocean or a lake, some referred to being around water as being their happy place. Nearly everyone who shared something about water that was different, you could see everyone else's heads nodding. Oh yeah, I make that association too. It's such a fundamental element of our lives that it is deeply rich in meaning for us. So for this Sunday with a thematic week on water, there's a multiplicity of meaning with respect to water and any number of different ways to think about this as we study scriptures. Today, I'd like to focus about water in our relationship to our theology of creation. In our Old Testament reading that Honora read from the book of Job, God is speaking directly to Job and talking about God's work in creation. It discusses it in two ways. The first is the way God provides fresh water on the earth, water that gives life in clouds and rain, rivers and lakes. The second, though, is the way God holds back the waters, or the seas of the earth. In the Old Testament, sometimes they called it the deep. Those primordial waters that God holds back in Genesis when God separates the dry land from the waters in creation. In the Old Testament, in fact, they thought of God always having to hold those waters back, those destructive waters. They thought of those waters as a symbol for chaos, with the idea that the one thing you can't do with the sea is control it. And so a critical component of the theology of creation, especially in the Old Testament, is that God is what keeps those waters at bay, what keeps chaos at bay. God is what orders and structures life. So they see water through the lens of God as relating those two aspects of water, that of giving life and that of its destructive force. And they thought of it primarily in that way, that it's only God who kept the chaos of the sea at bay. By focusing upon water and creation, they focus upon God's cosmic role. What we say when we talk about God the Creator, God's the one and the only one who creates, who structures the world around us, who provides any real order or meaning in our lives. Their fundamental view, and our fundamental view, is that water was about life. The obvious role for life there is in the way water enlivens us with rain and it refreshes the earth. But they also actually thought of the destructive role of water also with respect to life. It's never about the primordial waters that the sea is destroying. It's about God holding them back, about God's providing a stable creation that causes the world we live in to be teeming with life. We see that in our reading from Job. God challenges Job. Are you me? Do you know what I'm doing and continually doing in your life? The very creation around you, that is my work. And so Job is recognizing he is a human. God is God. But in that recognition, he also recognizes God's continual work among us. I think one of the biggest mistakes we so frequently can slip into when we think about creation is that we talk about it as something God did a really long time ago, setting up this earth through this elaborate process. God did do that, but that doesn't mean God stopped creating. God's continually creating and recreating the world we live in. God's continually holding back the chaos and waters of our lives. In our gospel reading today, We have the familiar story of Jesus calming the waters when he's asleep in the boat and a great storm comes and the disciples are unable to keep the water out and they are at very real risk of sinking and dying. They wake Jesus and Jesus calms the storm. But if we read this story with that aspect of the water we saw from our Old Testament reading, the way the storm is discussed, the creational waters, those primordial waters, as the storms assailing us, the disciples would have thought this way and imagined the chaos of life coming upon them. And we actually see in this reading, their hope is lost. They come to Jesus despairing. If you look carefully what it says, they say, "Master, Master, we are perishing." It doesn't say, "Master, if you don't act, we'll die." Or say, "Please help us." It's simply, "We are perishing." A statement of fact. The boat's capsizing. There's nothing more we can do. They can't even get so far to ask Jesus for help. We might think it's implied, but it doesn't actually say that. In fact, when Jesus does calm the waters, they're surprised. They seemingly had no idea he could do such a thing. They just wake him saying, "We are perishing." It is a statement of despair. And while our theology is that God is always present in creation, when we're in those places of danger from creation, we don't remember that theology very frequently. When the waves are crashing down, when the floods rise like they are in Tennessee right now, when the dams break, most people's first thought is, "Oh, theologically, God's in control and God is a God of life," and so on. Instead, their prayer is, "Why? How long, O Lord?" The disciples in our text don't have deep theology here that saves them. They simply state where they are. "We are perishing. We are despairing. We aren't sure we have any hope at all." I love how honest that statement is. This isn't the time to call upon some deep theology from our books. This is the time to state who we are before God. Remember that message from Job. "You are human. I'm God." This is the same message, but in reverse. When the disciples say, "We are perishing," they could simply be saying to Jesus, "We're humans. We're afraid. We don't have control of this situation." And first, and there's two aspects. The first is, of course, they honestly don't know how this is going to get solved or if it will. But the second is the work of God in their lives, the work of God in our lives is too great for us to be able to fathom or understand. God's grace and love are greater than anything we can understand, much less ask for. So instead they state simply who we are. "We are perishing." Then Jesus acts. Jesus acts not because they ask him to, they in fact didn't, but because of who Jesus is. The work of God is alive in us, among us at all times. Even when we can't see it, when we can only say, "We are perishing," that might be at times the most honest prayer we can make. It is as if we come to God and simply name, "Here is where I am." In this circumstance in our text, they say that during a physical storm, during a moment we would usually see as a creational moment. But the same thing can be said very frequently when we don't think of it as a creational moment. Not only when there's an actual storm, but in the storms and stress of our lives. In those moments where the only honest thing we can say to God is, here is where I am. In those moments too, there we see Jesus' action in our lives. Where and how Jesus acts. When Jesus calms the waters. When Jesus brings peace. And there's that sense of peace, Jesus calming the waters across this lake that so many express when you're out on a still lake, in still water, that aesthetic sense of peace that just floods over you that is beyond words. That peace that can only be experienced rather than described. It's the peace that comes from the waters of baptism. The water of rebirth, renewal, resurrection. When our identity is in Christ, when we're able to say to God, here is where I am. And we know God is hearing us. When we're able to give thanks that God is a God of life, one who gives water, one who holds back chaos, one who washes us clean daily from the power of sin and into the new creation alive in us already. God the Creator continues to work in us and through us. From every death, there is resurrection. From every storm, there is calm. From every time, we can only say in despair, here is where I am, God. God acts in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand for our next hymn.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. O God, you are wholeness. Where there is division in your church, bring reconciliation and healing. Guide the work of theologians, Sunday school teachers, seminary professors, and all who provide instruction for the building up of your church. Merciful God, hear our prayer. O God, you are the source of all life. Where creation cries out in distress, bring relief and renewal. Bless farmers, ranchers, distributors, and all who provide our food. Nourish the land and all its inhabitants. Merciful God, hear our prayer. O God, you are wisdom. Where nations and communities yearn for peace, bring justice. Strengthen those who toil for the welfare of others, especially military personnel, police, first responders, and activists, and for the healing of the nations. Merciful God, hear our prayer. O God, you are our treasure. Where scarcity and anxiety pervade your church, bring abundance and vitality. Guide all congregations with wisdom and guidance. We pray especially for the people of Faith Lutheran Caldwell, Idaho, as they have a congregational meeting today considering calling candidate Lucas Scherson as their pastor. Allow your wisdom to come into that place and that your will be done. And be with Lucas as he continues on his journey to do your work in the world. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
O God, you are life. Where your people are overwhelmed with the busyness of life, bring encouragement. Accompany all who experience emotional, mental, or physical distress. Provide healing, comfort, and renewal. We pray especially today for baby Michael, Terry Chapp, Cynthia Flores, Claudia Hardwick, Dolores Lewis, Christine Prescott, Alice Rothstein, Marilyn Tollefson, and Kristen Ware. Renew us at your table of mercy. Merciful God, hear our prayer. O God, you are resurrection. We give you thanks for all your saints. Inspire us by their example of faithful living to set out our minds on things above and to be rich in love toward you and comfort all of us who grieve. We pray especially for all who grieve, Dave Prescott, whose service was last week, Cynthia Flores' grandmother, who died last week, Thomas Brady, whose service is this week, and Arlene Fors, who died yesterday. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Just take one moment to turn to one another and wish each other the peace of Christ.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence, in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and to all of us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you said to us, Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution, you'll come up the center aisle, take, and you'll be given the bread in the form of a wafer, and dip it into the divided cup, which has red wine or white grape juice. And we will start on the lectern side. And then once that's through, we'll process over with the pulpit side. Come, for all has been prepared. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few announcements of our life together this week. First is our dinner group kickoff picnic is happening today at 1:30 at the Dietz's home, and you can talk to them after for more information if you need that. Second is to note this coming Saturday, August 6th at 2 p.m., will be the memorial service for Tom Brady. The other thing, just as an announcement, you heard in the prayers that one of our longtime members, Arlene Forrest, died yesterday. And so we remember the family in our prayers as we entrust her to God's good care. And keep watch for more information about when that service will be. Now I invite all who are able to rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.